get to go to games.
Go to games.
Red seems to be working. A bit worried about the two Yeti inputs. Not sure why. I've never seen that before. We'll see how it pans out. Anyway, gentlemen, welcome. Steve,
thanks. Here we go.
Thanks for turning up. Deep Purple Piers, thank you very much for coming.
Thank you for having me back.
Absolutely, and actually, thank you, because we could discuss something else, because I think you now become our most regular guest. How many times have you been on?
You've appeared more times than Harry.
I think he's a guest now.
This will be number three.
Number three, I'm pretty sure that's it, because I think Titch, Rich, and Professor Chris, the Hull City supporter, I think they've both been on twice, haven't they?
I've been on twice.
You've been on twice, Steve. You are, in fact, a host. That's what you are. So, Piers, that's good. Also, entertainingly, the other person been on twice, just remembered, is Clock Paul. And I was trying to get him on as well. Mostly, I think it's important, we've discussed, ideally with Scouser, but Harry, being incredibly unscouser-like, has got a job, hasn't he, Steve?
Allegedly.
Then he said he would be here today, Piers, because he said that, but this is his day off. Steve, innocent little naive character, thought he might turn up. I thought his day off means he's going to cram an entire week of binging on today. And sure enough, I think he was up at 5 this morning, so he's not here. But I did want to scouser in so that we could, I think, quite realistically, we sort of touched on this last week, Klopp is in fact no better than Lennon, Benitez, or that other manager they've had recently that was rubbish as well. I can't remember his name. Benitez, Klopp, who was else they sort of claimed was a genius but never won anything. Anyway.
Rodgers,
that's it. And that's it, I keep calling him Lennon. It's Brendan Rodgers and I call him Lennon for some reason. I've got
That's a Celtic connection between the two of them, I believe.
That's what it is. That's what it is.
You're giving him far too much credit. That's nothing to do with... He just randomly, he's at that age.
I have to, he's at that age now. I was
just picks names.
Last week. That's how confused I've become. So, good. That's us. We're all set. Very exciting week to discuss. I think, as always, kick off with Steve. Your week?
So,
it was a bank holiday. It's a long time ago.
It was a bank holiday, yeah.
It was a bank holiday weekend.
After months of fretting about meeting two friends for a walk on the heath, we finally decided to meet up Monday. And of course, that was the day it never stopped raining.
Pissed it down, didn't it?
Pissed it down all day.
God, it was really irritating, the weather, because that... So, well, actually, the rest of it wasn't too bad. Was that it? That's all you did?
No, it's probably just a bit of roaming around. Went to the V&A. Haven't been there for a while.
Oh, nice.
Look at an exhibition they have about how to take photos of a bulldog. Looking at how photography in and around surrounding dogs has changed over...
So we do it differently now than back in the Victorian days.
Now it's like a skill in its own.
Taking dog photos.
You can make a very good career from it. Well, getting the dog to look just at the right moment without slobbering on your camera.
So that's in the V&A. I thought V&A was all like outfits and clothes.
They've got different rooms, haven't they? They've got different
dogs.
So yeah, just took a walk around, random rooms and pop in and out there, down South Kensington Way.
Nice
spot of lunch.
A bit of civilisation for you, Steve, compared to the Holloway Road.
Well, it's nice to see what more genuine Chelsea fans might look like.
That's
the ones with money.
The ones with money. We do have a lot of them. I remember going to V&A. I think I'd had a massive fight with Gemma. I had this bizarre day on my own for the first time in a year, so I went to the V&A. I thought, I'll just show her. How dare she can accuse me of being culture free and obsessed with football. So I went to the V&A and I slightly let myself down. I went and watched Hangover, the first film. Slightly less cultured. Quite enjoyed it though. But yeah, I don't think I've been there since. I really enjoyed it. It's a good, cool shout.
It's a nice part of town. Plus, it's good for a coffee and a pastry. And then the V&A itself is obviously massive. There's so much. You can just go in there.
Yeah, I obviously went into the outfit room. Probably missed out. 9/10 of the rest of it. But yeah, that's good. Nice. Lucky you.
So yeah, all quite chilled.
And
now we've got some sun, so...
Sun came out as soon as the bank holiday weekend finished. Got nice, didn't it? Really nice. Apparently it's going to finish again on Sunday. But at least a bit... Found a little sun trap here, haven't you? Well done. Piers, what about you? How was your week?
It was a very good week. Very good week. Finished up the end of last week. Went to fetch a puppy for a friend.
I was going to say, don't be
who's tough. Just got their first little dog. So that was enjoyable for them. Not so enjoyable for the backseat of my car.
how come you got the job?
Because his car was stolen. So,
That's what I was saying. Well, I'll pick it up, this pee puppy.
So that was nice. And then, actually, very carby based weekends. All my work friends are car nuts like me. None of my actual friends. So it's nice to friends bring on a car show.
Oh, right.
I was dusting off some of his wonderful things for that. Went down to Southampton to see them on Saturday, and then Sunday. Was actually taken by little Nigel's daughter, took me for lunch before Chelsea.
Of course.
Little Trixie. I got her a car, her first car, so she was saying thank you. I think Nigel was saying thank you. So that was nice.
No. Trixie's been earning money since the day she was born.
Oh, no,
as Robbie Williams so famously said.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, she's done very well from her BBC.
Yeah.
Her BBC acting.
Was she in?
Worst Witch.
Have you met little Nigel? He's never been on, has he?
Hasn't been on, I don't think.
Little Nigel's daughter, yeah. Certain, but not now, maybe, but back in the day, several of my nieces would know who she is, was, because she was in this series.
But I think even now she's like 60,000-70,000 followers on Fiddly Boing Media, whatever it is.
It's odd that she's not wanted to come on the No Clean Sheets podcast. Maybe she would know that she's been...
She's too famous.
To the boys. She's too famous.
And then obviously there was a...
She's got an actual image, Steve.
An enjoyable game of football, but to be honest, I would have rather spent Sunday with my daughter's opening cricket game of the season.
Oh, no.
So I really wanted to see her, but I felt there's not many Chelsea games left. I should go along to that.
Are you shaming me, Piers? Is that what you're doing?
No, not at all. And she lost the opening game, but it was in the cup. And that's okay, because it's kind of Champions League-y, where if you get knocked out at this stage,
another cup.
You go to the plate, and then you get to play loads of games.
Yeah.
If you get knocked out next week,
it's all over.
It's kind of all over. And I'm not sure her team's quite at the level.
Is this like Arteta-type tactics that Steve would put it down to?
Very.
We'll intentionally lose this to guarantee more
games.
Very.
Yeah. But I think they're paying Spence or someone very good who...
I think
so, but they did okay. I dashed back from the beach to try and get to the end. I was trying to follow it on play cricket, but slightly failed.
Yeah.
And then Monday, we have a community garden in our flats. It's kind of sort of allotment-y for a few of us. Not allowed to call it an allotment because there's a big queue of people waiting for them.
Yeah.
And we jumped the queue by building our own.
So I
potted around my chilli plants, and I planted a plum tree and an apple tree, and generally got wet and listened to podcasts. It's very enjoyable.
More wet from the rain, I hope.
Wet from the rain.
Wet from the excitement of potting your plum tree.
Absolutely.
Pervert.
Wet from the rain.
Now, do you feel you're going to be close to banning Bruce to go to Chelsea games? Because when he doesn't show up, they seem to win games.
Yeah, yeah. You're bloody right.
You
know the last
games.
Game I've been to? I'm quite concerned. The last game I went to was the Wolves game at Bridge. I've been to two games at Wembley since. We got absolutely tonked 4-2. I think we got the second goal quite late on.
Well, I saw highlights and it looked like maybe their two best performances were saved for when...
I'm slightly worried because I am going to the Bournemouth game, which is the last game of the season, and I'm slightly worried. There is a chance we are actually playing for something.
Out of nowhere,
we could be playing for Europe.
Out of nowhere.
As in the Conference League.
No, there's an outside chance. If Tottenham carry on being as shite as they have been recently, we could actually overtake them.
Well, I think Newcastle we need to be concerned about.
And Newcastle need to drop 2 points.
I was staying in a hotel on Monday night and did a little bit of work and then was a little bit bored.
Right.
So I actually, ahead of this week's picking the team, I did a quick form guide and I did a table for the last 6 weeks. To see who's where they are, to try and get the last couple of players in. And interestingly, you have City top, 6 from 6, Arsenal 5 from 6, and there are three teams on 13 points for the last 6 games, which are Newcastle, Everton, and Palace.
Palace, of course, they've been.
And I think we come just after that. So actually, Newcastle are in great form.
Yeah,
and they're above us. They're 2 points above us.
And haven't they got a real easy game? Like, and they playing Tottenham or something?
Well, something like that. Yeah.
So they could throw a shoe in for that game. That Yeah, interesting. I mean, I think realistically, though, if we hold on where we are, though, I think we are in Europe, aren't we? Seventh place game.
We are in
Europa. The game, I mean, obviously we're interested in it, Steve, because we've won everything and we haven't won that competition. So we're going to win that competition because we've won it all. I mean, that's a song you'll arguably never sing, Steve, because that's about, you have to win the Champions League to be able to sing that song.
But we'll have, we like some very specific songs.
Yeah.
So, for example, as soon as someone else gets European Cup in London, we'll change our song to "We're the Only Team in West London Whose Team Begins with C" in the European Cup.
Yeah.
So we'll find a way to keep singing all the songs.
Sing the songs, but it's just make them very specific. Even, as you see, London is fairly specific. Actually, as we talked about previously, seven bloody teams in London in the Premiership, which is madness.
But the kind of, you've mentioned this the last few weeks, the kind of almost always has been six or seven. I remember when Wimbledon and so on were in it.
Yeah, but I remember, bizarrely, when we were by Munich when we won it the first time, Piers, and remember when there were some friendly young Germans that we gave a Chelsea...
There were.
They almost got battered when they got out of that restaurant. Anyway, they were asking, and I counted them up, and then, 2012, it was five. Yeah. So you're right. I don't think it's ever less than five, but it definitely goes above it. So good. Oh, so, well, yeah, you crammed it in. Very good.
Oh, very good.
I suppose we can't let it go without asking about Brucemas.
The Brucemas week, so that was quite a long weekend, because that, of course, started... Didn't do an awful lot on Brucemas Eve, except the podcast, because that was Wednesday. Brucemas Day, obviously, you know, children outside singing carols and stuff, but very nice, got some very nice presents. Got a very stylish white Trivago Chelsea training top. And the trouble is, this has happened to me before, because... Klaus. he gave me a Chelsea, because I don't really buy Chelsea tops, but he gave me a Chelsea goalkeeper's top. And the same thing happened with when I used to run around in that, because it's long sleeve in the winter. Same thing happened when I ran around, I've been running to the pond back. Chased, you know, lots of adoring looks, like kids waving, kind of women of a certain age, smiling, rather beguiling. It's quite, you know, it's dangerous wearing a Chelsea top. Attention and love.
I think the haircut, and though. The haircut. Looks,
and the haircut. Steve took a whole week to notice the haircut. Thanks.
I can see he's emotionally scarred by such.
Emotionally scarred by that. So that got a very nice present. Then we went to Parakeet. You been there yet?
I haven't. The prices...
Well...
For a pub in Kentish Town, I haven't talked myself into the prices yet.
It's... Now, I get what you mean, actually, but funnily enough... I'm not saying it's cheap, but that back room is very much a very striking restaurant room. Very much is a restaurant in the back and a pub at the front, which is nice as well. And whilst it's not cheap, I've been stung a lot worse than that place, and it's very good food.
No, but you know what it is? It's like when you start paying a certain price, you know, close to three figures,
wasn't actually that
you kind of want to be more than 10 minutes away from home, no? You kind of feel like you've gone somewhere.
Well, you want to go further away to be...
You feel like you've gone out as opposed to I've just literally gone down to the corner.
I do have a sports-based cheap beer recommendation for the next couple of weeks.
Cheap?
Cheap. One of our locals, in fact, the closest place to my flat is the Czech Bar.
Which
Bruce has mentioned, it's a pre-Chelsea meeting place. Essentially, it's a house that was given to the Czech government for the help from the Second World War the Czech Air Force gave to the RAF. And it became a bit of a hostel and a sort of random meeting place, and opened up as a pub, Czechoslovakian pub and restaurant in probably the 60s. It's basically not been done up since. But it has a huge garden.
Nice.
You look like you're going to someone's house, but the beer prices have slowly crept up. The ice hockey world championship starts tomorrow. And when the ice hockey's on, all of the ice hockey
countries
followers from around London converge there. And they reduce the beer price to £3.90.
Nice.
For the duration of the tournament. And it's got a massive beer garden about from here. Not this
but do we have to go...
As far as you can see in this one, and much wider.
But do we have to answer any tricky ice hockey
Absolutely
questions?
Absolutely not. The governor said to me yesterday when I was in there on the first sunny day, just to let you know, we've got this special coming up. Kind of sports-based.
I'm sort of disappointed there's not some sort of test, like you have to body check somebody into the wall or something.
I feel like with our adoring public, we've... killed the promotion. Everyone's going to be dashing there in that.
We're not going to get a seat now.
Actually, I will say I've been there in previous years after a big game, and they take over West End Lane. Yeah, there could be 100 people outside. Many, many mulleted people as well, because I think there's a.
It's north.
It's sort of a.
North and
I'm not sure
East
who the
Europe.
Czech. Was it Jaeger? Who was the very famous.
Jaeger Bomb?
NF. What's the word? I don't know, the American. He played for. Black Hawks, I think, one of the... basically had a fantastic mullet, and they seem to still sport them now. It's
well worth a look. All of those North European countries and East European, they love a mullet. I don't think they'd even... They're not even wearing them, ironically.
No.
They love it.
Yeah.
I don't know why. There'd be a reason, won't there? Good for their earmuffs, because it's cold up there.
I've never quite got in... I tried on numerous occasions to get into
mullets.
Ice hockey.
Oh, ice.
Mullets. I've got a feeling I've got a picture of me as a 12-year-old with a mullet.
I've definitely... It was a sort of... Remember that kind of... neuromantic sort of Paul Young sort of Spandau Ballet type mullet. So it was a mullet, but it's quite shiny. I had one of them, definitely.
I feel like my thought process wasn't as deep. I just ended up with a mullet.
Somebody gave you a mullet, you weren't paying attention.
I actually would recommend ice hockey. I was stuck in the States. Do you remember when they had the volcano in Iceland?
Yeah.
I was over there doing some car salvage work and couldn't get back.
Right.
So I was in the States for about, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks. And I stayed in Chicago with Helen's auntie, and just someone to be. And he took me to lots of sports, because he actually was in charge of a hospital that looked after lots of sports people.
Yeah.
So we had fantastic seats. So we went to see the Chicago Bulls in the playoffs. Then a couple of days later, we went to see the Blackhawks, which was the ice hockey, and it's in the same arena. So the ice hockey and the basketball were exactly the same. Exactly the same.
Really?
Exactly the same arena. Just
is that the same in lots of places?
I'm not too sure. But I really, really, really liked the crowds. I mean, I've done lots of American sports. It's slightly wild crowd. It's much more football-like.
There's definitely something quite alluring about it.
And it's...
Can you see... My problem with it is, and it might just be the telly, you can never see the puck, especially if they're shooting. I think, well... I didn't see that.
Arguably, that doesn't similar issue at Chelsea. But genuinely, I just can't. It's so small, so
fast. Well, here's the thing. You're sat really high up when we were... Because I actually took her cousin, the only seats I could afford, which were right at the top. And you see the game playing out very much like if you're watching a football game on a tiny pitch.
Yeah.
In the way that I don't understand other American sports, and you can't see the plays, and you don't know exactly what's happening. With the ice hockey, or the hockey as they call it there, you see everyone getting into their positions, and you just kind of know what's going on. And it's actually...
So you can see it, you can see the puck.
You absolutely see it,
right.
and it's a wild crowd. They don't really have away support at American sports.
No.
With such a big country. But this has an atmosphere.
Yeah, and actually I remember seeing a film, and it was rare, but I think it was a Canadian league, which was quite a big deal there. And there was a massive fight, and I think it was because it was the two teams... I'm totally misremembering this, but there was the big fight where the crowd was beating the crap out of each other as well as the players, and it was because it was the English-speaking Montreal team and the French-speaking Montreal team, and obviously they're going to beat the shit out of each other, or I might have misremembered it. There might be the nearest city that's English-speaking in there.
Well, what's the comedian's line about... I went to a fight and a hockey match broke out. That's literally, I remember, all I can remember trying to watch it is, one, I couldn't see the puck very well. It's far too fast.
Yeah.
And it just seemed like every 30 seconds...
That was the bit I liked.
Someone was trying to fight.
I enjoyed that bit.
Well, the mulleted hero...
Like Stamford Bridge.
Yeah. The mulleted hero, when I was there, was, in fact, a gentleman by the name of Kane.
Kane.
Yeah. Not a relative of Harry, a Canadian who was playing down there.
Brilliant. Good. Excellent. That's a fulsome week. But now, what was I... Hang on, you put me off, didn't you? Yes, so, parakeet, very good.
What did you have at the parakeet?
We had a lot. It's one of those things where you share lots of different bits and bobs. I had a couple of cocktails. Not normally have a cocktail. A bit tipsy. No, we had champagne before we even got there. And ended up sort of forgetting that we'd had a whole lot more... We'd ordered loads of sort of starters and nibbles and everything. And then forgot we'd also ordered some beef... And some fish as well. It was all delicious. I think we slightly overordered. But as I said, it wasn't that bad. It was like 60, 70 quid a head, which is a lot. Not that it's not, but we were going for it, you know. I suppose the only thing we didn't have was a pudding. So I'm going to put it up. I think it's worth it. You get down there.
I think it's bad luck to leave a meal without a pudding.
You think? We had it because we had pudding at home. Had birthday cake, Steve, so it would be silly to have had pudding there. And then Friday, went to the Stag with a load of people for some drinks. Saturday, went to see Wasal at Curry Paradise. Some mates. Had Saturday, we also had Gemma's parents came down. So we had a lot on. And then
Monday, I think we had something planned on Monday, but it involved sitting outside and eating somewhere. Got cancelled, binned. But yeah, so it was good. And of course, all of which as well, in missing Tottenham and West Ham.
Do you have the 12 days of Bruce-mas?
We do have Bruce-ension day, but Bruce-ension. By then, Denver gets very irritated by Bruce-ension day, because that's quite new. I only spoke that the other day. Not particularly religious. Yep. So I don't go quite... I think, is it today Bruce-ension day?
I'm not sure.
If I make this shit up, I should try and remember the day of it. But I do try that, but that doesn't land very well at home, because everyone's bored shitless with it by the end of it. But yeah, no, it's been really good. Good time, and then the sun comes out. Normally it is the start of the summer now, because I sort of notice it because it's my birthday, and I was very disappointed because it was not a great weekend. But somehow even Tuesday just made up for it, didn't it? Because this week now, Tuesday, Wednesday,
yeah,
Thursday.
Yeah, we've hit the peak. This is it.
And this heat in the sun worries me how much better a mood it puts me in. And I think, why do I live here then? Why do I not live somewhere where it's like this more often? But then you need the downs, don't you? It's a bit like football. You have to have the shit winter to get excited about the summer.
It's very philosophical of you. Must come with the age.
He's coming up very wise, old man. No. So, yeah, so that was good. And what else was I going to say about going out? That was what I was going to say. I've not seen you. I've not seen you since the last time I saw you was outside, not outside Ali Pali, in a cab back from Ali Pali. Is that the last time I've seen you?
It could be.
We have done the underworld, haven't we, Steve? We did the underworld. That was very, very messy.
Well, haven't we told you that we have booked a trip to Tenerife on the basis of that evening?
With those guys, that guy and that woman.
Yeah, so we bumped
Dodgy.
Into
I was worried
Steve
about you, Piers. I thought you were going to get trafficked by that bloke.
A couple next to us, Spanish, who were very friendly, and we got to talk to them. Because Helen is a Spanish speaker, the chap was part English, part Spanish, so she didn't speak so much English. We then went for a drink with him afterwards and ended up helping him out with an Uber because he was trying to pay cash and it kind of didn't work out, and got them back to where they needed to. And he was very keen to make sure he could pay me back for this Uber fare and a few other things I'd helped him out with over the evening. And he kept saying, which bands, you know, which other bands you like, who you've seen. I said to Bruce, you know, I mentioned to these guys that I really like Orbital, and he said, I booked Orbital last year.
Yes, you did say that. That's coming back to me now.
And Bruce said, what a load of bollocks. He said, he kind of knows someone who knows someone who's something to do with
the
festival.
Worried for your sexual safety, because he was basically grooming you, and he's going to take you back to Spain and sell you to Russians.
And he said, I put on a festival. And Bruce said, there's no way it's his festival. It turns out it is his festival. He puts on a festival, and it's in its ninth year, and Helen and I are guests of the festival organizers this year.
I bought him a drink. Why am I not coming?
I told you, you're invited. I told you you're invited. It's in the very north of Tenerife. It's at the end of August.
Well, this year?
Yeah, so we're going over. And we got some lovely, lovely WhatsApp messages from them.
They seem
to really, really like us all.
I'm joking. Yeah. I was only entertaining myself by casting aspersions about him. You seem like a nice couple.
I didn't actually think he was the founder of the festival and CEO of it.
Yeah.
Turns out it might be quite a nice game of festival where you're the guest of the founder.
Sure, it will be.
Yeah. It's although they don't have anyone like Orbital playing this year.
No, who have they got?
It seems to be lots of sort of
Chravas Capatas.
Them. I've YouTubed a lot of the artists playing. Some really interesting. They sound to me like lots of people that will be on Radio 6 of Spain.
Yeah. Yeah, is it dance focused, or is it...
It's all sorts. It's all sorts, yeah.
Indie stuff.
It's pretty indie, but yeah.
Brilliant. Oh.
That may be the last time.
Like the last time I see you. We will not see you at the Orb, because what happened to Piers? He went to Tenerife, got sold into modern day slavery. That's what's happened to you.
I wish.
Good. Yeah, so good. I'm glad you made it back from that, because, yeah, it was a challenging journey home. So, football now. I do think we should spend a bit of time, against my better judgment, Steve, do have to spend a bit of time on fantasy football this week. Is that the highest ever score you've managed?
This season, I think.
Ever?
No.
No? No. What was it in the end?
122.
He doesn't remember. I've got it tattooed on his left buttock. 122.
Yeah.
Astonishing.
Was that just because you had loads of Chelsea players in? Is that what it was?
It's actually because the players that you would expect to perform all did at once.
Yeah, they all came together.
I mean, Haaland captain is going to jumpstart anyone.
Well, that was it. Was it four goals?
Four goals.
I think I was 80. I think I was 80 something. I think
you did well.
Not really. As an aside, the reason you invited me as a guest this week, Bruce. Because I sent you a message, say, could I give you a message to talk to Steve about?
Steve, this is it. Steve's got a message.
Could I share my thoughts on Steve and his week? And the lazy person you are, you went, oh, I can't be bothered to listen to all this. I'll get it wrong. Can you just come and tell
me? I'm not going to be saying anything positive to Steve about anything.
I basically want to congratulate you very heavily for your scores for this week.
Yeah.
If I were to go back 5 or 6 weeks, Steve, I have kind of nothing to play for because I started 6 weeks late. Although I did overtake Harry this week, that's kind of relevant because he's basically had Frank Lampard managing his team for the last however long
it was.
So that's irrelevant. I was seeing if I was slowly catching up on a points by point basis.
Yeah, average basis. Yeah.
And I had a look before last week, and I thought, do you know what? If I do this, this, and this over the next 3 weeks, I've got it down to basically 1 point a game. So I was relatively close from that point of view, and then you smashed me. You smashed me to a point at which there's no way I can catch up. So I dug into your score a bit more, and boy, did you do well. Now I know Obi's had a higher score at 1 point in the season. We had his 140, whatever it was, on that 1 week. But your score is significantly better, and you didn't just get a good score because a bunch of different players kind of came good that you'd expect to. Because if you have a look, there's 10.8 million players. And you came 14,000th. And what that means, Steve, what that means is you are 99.88 percentile.
I think we should get you on every week.
it's staggering. Obi's score...
Well, because you won't be doing this every week.
Obi's score, when he got more than you, 140-something...
He wasn't as high
up. He was essentially 99%. You were 99.8. Imagine this, there's 1,000 people in the room, 1,000 people in the room, there is only 1.2 people above you.
In the queue.
Out of 1,000 in
the
queue.
Bar.
It's absolutely incredible score. And now I'm not going to catch you or get anywhere close to you from that point of view.
Well, it's quite frustrating because Obi will win our league, but when you've played this long enough, there are kind of two types of rival. There's the one who outscores you largely because you've made your own mistakes.
Yeah.
I went
yeah.
through a superstition spell where I didn't want Saka for big games because I felt he was performing better when he wasn't in my team.
That was your early excuse.
And like Trippier got 9 or 10 points against Arsenal, but I didn't want him against Arsenal, so I benched him.
Yeah.
I did loads of silly things. So that's the kind of Obi thing where he's outscored me, but with my help. And then I'm in other leagues where they outscore you because they do random things, like they have Matete captain when he scores twice, and you have no idea how they get to that conclusion. Haaland will have done nothing. Nine out of your 10 teams will have had Haaland captain. They've gone Matete. And they seem to do it 10, 15 times a season. They do these little things.
It happens.
Where you just think, how did you get to that conclusion?
Yeah, but they know that doesn't, over the season, doesn't. Does it over the season? It's pure.
Yeah, because there'll be like one of the guys in the other league had Trippier captain on a game where he scored, got 2 assists, man of the match.
Yeah, but that won't over the season. That's that game he'll beat you, but it won't be over. The
no, because they'll change it.
Like
but
that.
Then for the next,
oh, well, they're always
for the next 3 weeks they'll have Haaland, and it'll just be like they seem to just change it at that moment.
So they're like borderline geniuses. They say that team
will
suit
like
his game.
Yeah,
well, one of them, their nickname is Spreadsheet because we know through his own confessions. He analyses it in a way which is very
tragic,
detailed. Yeah.
but like, does he always win? He does.
He's the one that always wins. So he obviously has a formula that he looks at,
and it does work.
So you know that you'll get to the last 6 weeks of the season, and he won't have used a single chip.
Yeah. And it all comes
he'll do a City.
He'll do a City, and then just. Yeah. But throughout that period, like he'll start using his chips when he's already 200 points clear.
Because he didn't even need them. Well, actually, could I just bring this back, though, to us? Because whilst it's impressive, Steve, and I don't want to be bitter and twisted about it, but Klopp, Paul, and Billy's back heeler, Chris, both got over 100. So it's obviously a piece of piss week.
No, but go and have a look at where both those finished. So I believe Klopp, Paul, for example, came 129,000, just a few points below.
Hang on, we're not complimenting him as well.
No, we're not. What we're saying is Steve was a whole... So essentially Clock Ball was somewhere around the 1%, 99% versus 99.8%. So in fact, 8.8 to 99.9%.
The other thing,
Steve, which is very interesting about that week, is I don't believe a single person was actually playing their bench boost, because you wouldn't play a bench boost when you've got a big game coming next week. You got your score without the bench boost. In many of the other weeks where people get really high scores, everyone's bench boosting, aren't they?
Well, I remember somebody... Somebody got very close to my score at one point this week, as in we were very close. And when I clicked on their team, could it have been Paul?
Paul did well.
No. Why would you bench boost this week, not next?
Why? Why would you next week? More...
Well, because half of... There's so many extra games. There's six teams, I think, or who've got double games.
Yeah.
So I think there's actually 12 games next week, so... Right. So 12 if you count, you know, the 12 teams involved.
Paul's points all largely came via Chelsea, Palmer, Gallagher and Jackson.
He's basically a massive Chelsea supporter.
So I remember looking at that and thinking, prior to it, he was nowhere near me. And then suddenly that one game, and what did Chelsea do? They won...
Well, that was the
West Ham and Tottenham. So all of those... average Chelsea players suddenly turned up for a couple of games.
Oh, no, it wasn't West Ham Tottenham, was it? It was Aston Villa Tottenham, because the West Ham was this week.
Mm.
It was Aston Villa. Yeah, it was a game I thought I'd change my team for. I missed that week. But, good. But it does mean, and I've just checked with Harry before he went off on his massive binge, and Thomas the Frank Engine, Obi, is back from his modelling time in Japan. So that leads me into my proposal that we have everyone back for the last podcast of the season, which presumably has to be after the last game of the season, doesn't it? The last game of the season is...
It's generally how it works.
We've never done this before, Steve. Don't take me for precedent. So that would be the week, something like the 23rd, 22nd of May.
This is the one that we're recording from the open-top bus.
This is the one we're recording from... With everyone
we're
in
not,
it.
We're not going to Manchester to record it.
No, we're not going to Manchester. We're not having the bus. Anything to do with buses. What we're going to be doing is maybe see as many people as we can in. And do it Thursday night, maybe Friday night, and just record it until it becomes too unbearable even for us. And then go off. Brilliant. Harry's going to have to buy the curry, because did you see that on the WhatsApp?
I did see that on the WhatsApp.
Whilst he's away, we changed the rules to the losers buy the winner a curry. So that's me and Harry buying Steve a curry. So actually, the loser buys the winner and second place. So I like to think of it, a curry. Maybe that's why he's not here. I took that seriously. But I think that's quite a good idea, because then we could get, a little awards. We get people to talk about the highlight of their season. We'd have to put a little thought into it, or it'd be mayhem.
Well, I'd like to meet some of the people I've really enjoyed listening to.
Yeah.
Because I think you've had some... Well, you have. You've absolutely had some guests who I've really enjoyed listening to.
What, Helen?
Well.
I'm
familiar with her work.
We could probably extend it. It'll be not as many people who've participated, but the people who've listened to it as well. We could maybe invite them along. Not as many people as have actually been in it. But yeah, we could do that. I like the idea of that. So we should maybe grab spot a night. And we'll do that'll be our last game. So that week beginning, whatever that's going to be, the 20th, we'll have been to Bournemouth. We'll have probably ended. So you think? Because I think our last week I was going, how come drawing Aston Villa or Agogo should have won means Potts should be kept on for another season? But a lot of people were saying that. But now, Potts, he's going to get another season, isn't he? You would be mad. He's obviously starting the shoots of. But I know. Tottenham and West Ham, though, notably have both been shite over the last month. Obviously, it was the end of the Moisaya. He got sacked after the game.
I don't think we know the answer at the moment. It has certainly looked better. However, there's been something I've observed watching Chelsea for the last few weeks, which is all about the head. So, if we take, for example, the United game, we came out really, really strong. We go two goals up. As soon as we let a goal in, everyone starts looking at their feet. And we were dreadful. So only when we got the sniff of coming back, when it was 3-2, suddenly they're playing really hard again,
yeah.
And it looked like something could happen. So much is with the mental side. We had that with Sheffield. We had it with Burnley. If we look at the two big results of Everton and West Ham, we never let a goal in, so we never got to have that test.
Wobbled.
And we don't know how wobbly we are. Now, a very good friend of mine, Hayden, who's a Kiwi, did say to us we'd made the star signing, bringing on the All Blacks mental coach.
He's a psychology
coach. I don't think he's done a very good job.
No.
So I'm not sure whether only when I see us losing and coming back will I decide whether we've turned the corner.
Yeah, you're right.
It does look like we have.
No, you're right, because we were watching a game. It was another Monday game. I can't remember who it was. It might have been Palace or someone, where we were three up and coasting. And we let exactly that. We let a goal in, and it was, and then we let another one. It was 3-2, and we were crapping ourselves. It must have been a Monday night game, because I was watching it, and they were goading me in the pub about it. And you're right, that exactly, you've spot on. We've got no confidence if we let a goal in, even if we're 2-3 up.
Yeah.
See the wobble. So yeah, interesting. But I think we should spend a bit of time on poor old Goons. I mean, doing everything they can.
Everything.
Half the bloody Villa let you down, didn't they? And I don't know. Yeah, I still want you to be. I still
it's
rather.
It's just quite hard to see where would drop points come from. It just Fulham away. I think they've got, haven't they?
You can turn it on.
And that, I mean,
they've had a few scalps
side.
This season. Yeah.
But the timing, again, that would be the one game, because it would be prior to us playing at Old Trafford. It feels like getting a boost that well timed. I don't think that's going to happen.
No.
It'd be too perfectly well timed.
They are scary, aren't they? Because how many games have they won in a row now, City?
One too many.
I know.
From my
life. Because you get the last six thing on the BBC website.
And then, of course, they've got Spurs and...
Spurs, I can't see doing anything. You've got more luck... chance with the other two.
I would love to see what would happen. I mean, we've seen it before. I think it was at Old Trafford when Spurs accidentally took the lead and then realised.
You mentioned.
Yeah. I'd like to see what happened if Spurs scored first against City. I'd like to just see what the atmosphere does in the ground. Because it would be quite surreal to have 60,000 fans booing.
Or just going silent.
What the
fuck's that? No, sadly, there was a client you'd really like there. Funny, they're mad, all of them are mad on football, but quite bizarrely, because they're a North London company, three big Chelsea supporters there, but also loads of Arsenal, like season ticket holders there. But unusually, quite bright, intelligent people they were. But they are similarly just thinking, great season, but we could well end up with nothing again.
Well, my prediction is that if we were to beat United at Old Trafford, whatever our goal difference is, City will conveniently beat Tottenham by plus one of that. Well, so if we're five ahead, I've got a feeling they'll beat.
Yeah.
They've made a dent on the goal difference, haven't they? But it's still, what, five, is it? Maybe six?
Until they go to Tottenham, yeah.
I have a feeling there's a twist. And this is probably being...
I feel like only Fulham can offer that.
I figure there could be a twist. And I maybe even a double twist, and I might see if I can get a cheeky bet on something.
When you were saying about, say, Fulham drew or won, whatever, what would be quite... Because didn't that happen? They lost City. The last time they lost, did you not immediately go and lose as well? No, that was Liverpool.
That was Liverpool.
Well, I think that will come on the last game. I could see, because, of course, we've got the double game week, don't you, for City. Let's just say something gets dropped there.
2 points.
And all of a sudden, that makes it for a very, very interesting last day.
It's all on
goal. The frustrating thing will be is if Arsenal are held to a draw at United, which is what my gut feeling is.
Oh, it can't be.
Then Spurs suddenly hold City to... Suddenly that game goes the way you wanted it to.
Oh, yeah, then they go for
because
it.
Because they go after it. So then you just feel like we're going to end up looking... Because as bad as United are, they don't like Arsenal. They turn it on for certain fixtures, especially at their own
ground. But I feel like he's lost that team, though.
He's completely lost it. But
So, I mean, you know, I don't think they've got enough in the locker.
If you looked at the way Palace dismantled them, it shouldn't be a challenge.
And actually, whilst we've been poor, that, you know, highlight of the game, probably last time we went to a game together was the Man United game. Actually, yeah, so that's more recent. That's more recent than the Wolves game, isn't it?
Yes.
And the United game, when we came back in injury time to beat them, they were dreadful.
When you take into account that their attendance is almost twice yours, they're the biggest English club in Europe.
They make the most money still.
They make the most money.
What was with the clapping at the end of that game?
The Palace
game. Did you see the United fans clapping the team off?
Yeah, I think
not ironically.
That was...
I think it was.
Are you sure it wasn't ironic?
Yeah, really.
No, I think they were deciding to back them.
They did the same for Tuchel on after Bayern lost to Madrid, which I thought was quite strange. They seemed to stick around and.
But I feel they like him, don't they? They've had a massive vote to keep him, even though he said he's already going. Yeah. He was going from like clock time. He was going ages ago, and they really wanted to stay. I didn't get to watch it. I was trying to watch the highlights. Apparently, they did have a goal disallowed by Munich when they would have re-equalised.
Oh, they did, yeah.
And he was apparently, that wasn't a disallowed goal. That was dodgy.
It looked like the linesman was very quick, but it's one of those that should have gone to VAR.
And it didn't go to VAR.
But the linesman put his flag up too much. The referee reacted too quickly.
So the goal was scored after
the
flag
went up. So it was hard to gauge, did the goalkeeper not dive because he knew player stopped?
Oh, shit.
And we should stress, if it sounds like anyone can hear what kind of sounds like a baby crying in the background, it's because Ten Hag is at the table next to us. And he's just talking about his season.
Yeah.
But is there a bigger decline in a team than United? When you think about their revenue, the size of their
fans, and actually
how
the
much
length
they've spent.
Of time. Yeah, the length of time that they've been nowhere near winning the league.
But that Palace game was like a completely different level of giving up after 10 minutes.
I know. Yeah, they just went, didn't they? I mean, Palace obviously have hit a bit of form, but even so.
But they've still got the foundation of fan base, attendance, money spent.
Yeah.
That, you know, people always assume they're not spending as much as
City.
Well,
it's a bit like, as Chelsea have proved, it's not. We always think it was all about money. But actually, it's about owners. I mean, yeah, managers help, but you need owners that have got some kind of a clue. And I think that's the problem. Mind you, it's the same owners, isn't it? The ownership hasn't changed.
Well,
Radcliffe's
manager. Obviously taken a share of something. But I actually don't fully subscribe to the Glazers are in Man United.
No.
Because actually, they may well have...
Well, they're for a large chunk
they
of
may
Ferguson
well have a model where they put the club into debt, but it's not like they haven't spent.
No.
They've just spent badly.
Yeah.
And that's... A lot of that comes down to the managers as well. So,
and also, they were there for how long before Ferguson left?
But it does feel like there's that structural thing of sporting director, how they're signing players.
Yeah.
That feels like where the massive...
And maybe, yeah, so he could control it enough before, and when he left, no manager...
Like, you look at the players that they went nowhere near, you know, they're going for Anthony, who's up there with one of the worst Premier League players you've seen, when Madison was available.
Yeah.
This will be a big summer for them because, without upsetting our Palace listeners, you'd imagine
be all over there.
Eze and Elise will both leave. If United don't get one of those,
you wonder, don't you?
Where does the rebuild?
Well, look what happened when Wilf went one way and then back the other from Palace.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's not a given.
Especially for this United team, though, would you really want to
join it?
I'm not sure you would.
I mean, obviously, they'd be begging me to, but you're right. If you were the choice between them, Arsenal, maybe not Liverpool, City, even Chelsea or Newcastle, out of those five, I think Man United would probably be fourth or fifth choice. And as you say, they are the biggest team in the country.
The fact that Mourinho, of course, is being linked with wanting to return them.
And apparently, yeah,
I think it'll be interesting to see
but
what happens.
The other two are Potter and Tuchel.
Interesting to see what happens with the cup final.
Yeah.
I mean, personally, Ten Hag's going to be gone. If I was responsible in that club, I would put somebody in for one game only. You know, a bit like you put Harry in or Jose for Sports Aid. Yeah, for one of this one game. I'd probably say Sir Alex come for one game only.
Well, that would actually be a master's.
Yeah? And I genuinely think...
He's always there anyway.
He's always there anyway.
They can give that seat to someone else.
He doesn't have to do anything other than basically be there on that one game.
Beat the shit out of you if you don't win.
Against City, I reckon they'd win that game.
But you could do it...
One game only.
You could do it like wrestling style, where you just call him down from the stands and he hits him with a chair and then goes into the changing room.
Yeah.
You're not going in there, you idiot.
Genius. That's a brilliant idea. Because it would work, wouldn't it? Because he'd go in. I bet you.
One game only
people
ever.
Like that bloody Fernandez, he said, it's just to give a word to him. Yeah. One going off and having a little moody sulk, and I will beat the shit out of him when you come in. And they'd all be terrified of him.
Yeah. At the very least, what they should do is probably announced that the manager's leaving before the game.
Yeah.
Just to give the fans a proper boost.
Yeah.
Because if they wait until after the game, when I assume they're gonna lose 4 or 5-0.
Yeah.
I'm actually going to that game. It's quite
Are you?
Isn't it? Yeah.
That's quite interesting, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of...
He sort of wants...
I'll have a team to support if City finish second.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I just won't.
Well, no, because you don't want... Yeah, well, who would you support, City, if they came
I can't stand Ten Hag at all. I think he's deluded.
Right, the way so you go for
the way
City.
He's been with the press, yeah. I find him very...
They're all fucking idiots, though, aren't they? They're all mental. Okay, right. I think... Right, well, was there anything else we wanted to talk about? I mean, why are we going to be bang on the hour? Anything else? Piers, you've got any...
We should probably... give a virtual high five for Bellingham getting to the Champions League final.
Bellingham, yes. Good lad.
That's pretty decent.
Whilst it was astonishing comeback again. And I also, that did, funny, that's a good point actually, because I didn't remember. So talk about teams that you normally think of Bayern Munich and German teams to be not organised, not mess up, stay in the, you know, get the ground out result, win penalty shootouts, whatever it might be. What do you think about Bayern Munich in the Champions League? It was them that Man United were playing, and they came back and won it right at the end, back in whatever that was, a long time ago. See, we were playing them, and they were an absolute shoo-in because no one had a clue why Chelsea had got there, and it was in their home pitch, and they were all in tears leaving there. And then that, you sort of thought they were through. They were through. Well, they had 5 minutes, but they did bizarrely take Kane and someone else off.
Yeah, I mean, they said cramp and injury, etc.
But they're almost. They've had some of the highest profile cock-ups.
But who's had the highest profile last minute making it through? It's Madrid. They've got lots of history.
There's definitely something in that DNA.
Neville, who was commentating, I just read his point, and he said the thing is they just believe they're going to get two goals, whatever they need in their head.
15th if they were to win it, I think.
15th?
Mm.
Yeah, I know they won a lot. Bit like any COVID ones don't count. I don't think it counts when basically the dictator of your country is making people play for you, and they got quite a lot when Franco was in charge. I'm not sure that counts.
Well, I don't want to encourage gambling, but I will. Bellingham to score and Madrid to win in a Wembley final against Dortmund. It's got to be guaranteed, isn't it? Considering he cut his teeth there. I was chatting with a friend on Monday, and we came up with the theory that a German club would win the Champions League at Wembley. England would then go and win the Euros in Germany this summer with Kane scoring the goal in the final, because obviously he's playing in Germany now. And that would be the only thing he would win. He'd never win anything at club level.
Just the World Cup.
But he would win Euros. Never win anything at club level, which kind of sounds like a Kane move.
That sounds like him. Why bother with all that nonsense?
But he scores the winner.
Dreadful choice of teams, but in the end, managed to win something with England.
But it's
where he's come closest.
Kind of like if you was doing a Roy of the Rovers script, that would kind of be.
You like a flutter? What's your flutter for the last?
My flutter is one which I think Steve's not going to like, and I need to work out the odds on it first of all. As someone, I think I'd prefer Arsenal to win the league than City, but I'm a bit like you. I'm slightly agnostic because.
I do want Arsenal to win, but then young Ed at the pond said, yeah, but Bruce, imagine but he's too young to remember how unbearable Arsenal sports are if they win the league. I can remember them, they're pretty unbearable.
None of my Arsenal friends have been remotely unbearable this year, and so I kind of want them to
know. Exactly, they haven't been irritated.
So this is purely a bet if the numbers stack up, and I'll go and have a look, which is for something to happen with City's points in the next two games, but then to still win the league because Arsenal do something disappointing.
Can you make a bet
on like the that last only day. Means it can be Fulham. There is definitely no way they're not beating Spurs. And also the Old Trafford games before that, which is the game I feel like Arsenal are most vulnerable in, even though they shouldn't be. That means breaking it down, get your money on Fulham.
Yeah. Fulham have to get at
early
least
game.
A point.
Or maybe to do something slightly weird the other way. I just feel as though somewhere there's a twist.
And
maybe not quite the Aguero 7 minutes injury time.
Still brilliant.
Still utterly brilliant. Yeah. I mean, just wonderful.
Yeah.
I think there's something in there somewhere, and I think as a neutral with a slight leaning to a reference to Arsenal, I sort of don't mind trying to lose some money on it in some way,
yeah.
but only if there's a big upside.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So well, I'll let you know what I've bet.
I did have a slight nightmare of it's still very feasible we could lose it on goal difference. It seems like a long shot because we've been ahead goal difference wise.
Yeah, but they could score a ton against.
But it
two
just feels like we could go into Everton, who defensively we beat 1 or 2 nil, and suddenly City win their last game 8-0.
And given your goal difference, that would be really disappointing. Because what are you plus 60 or something? I mean, it's pretty
plus
impressive.
Six at the moment.
So that
and it's
really
you're six
impressive.
Ahead there, but five, six ahead.
Yeah.
Right?
So
United, on the other hand, negative.
Mm. Yes.
Yeah,
the top. I mean,
we should definitely not go anywhere without saying they've conceded more goals than they've scored.
There's a lot of records falling for Man United.
Yeah. That has got to be.
Are they actually does remember that game? Who was it against Wigan where we were level on points with Man United, so it could, and we were close on goal difference.
8-1 or something.
And we beat them 8-1, and the next week we started celebrating that we won the league. Because I don't think, in the end, I don't think United even won. I don't think they drew their game. So it didn't go to goal difference, but we won the league, and it could have gone to goal difference.
Well, did you see something that United have lost either 7 or 8 times by 4 or more goals since the Premier League started, and 3 of them have been under their current manager?
Wow.
He's really let them go defensively. Which
and yet
great.
He will still come out to the press and say...
It'll be really entertaining.
By the way, this game doesn't work for podcasts, but... I was in TalkSport yesterday and they were doing an interview with, I don't know, the comedian Andy Parsons.
I do, yeah.
And the majority of the interview, rather than letting Andy talk about his tour, was that he could get some looky-likey work for Ten Hag. So, for the benefit of the listeners at home, Google Andy Parsons.
Yeah, I was actually looking at you thinking, you're a goatee away.
Yeah.
You could.
No.
You're not that far.
By association, that's Ten Hag.
You're Ten Hag. That actually just reminded me, though, this is too late, but I do know a few people have got away tickets, season tickets. Why are we not going to Brighton next Wednesday for our...
Because we haven't done an away game in 5 years.
That's a good reason.
Apart from that, though, Piers, Scott was trying to whip up an away game, and we should have spotted that.
And we all bigged it up and then... Did nothing about it.
As Piers pointed out, he shamed us. He said, right, so the 4 season tickets are me, Piers, Scott, my brother, Nigel. He pointed out the last time all 4 of us went to a game was the notorious Battle of Fulham Road when we had to...
The
know,
only time edgy, of the season.
We had to lesson.
One game all season.
Is it the only game?
Yeah. So I've said to the guys,
no excuse.
Last game.
All going. I feel I've been quite good apart from the last week.
Three Musketeers and D'Artagnan.
We'll all go, and then therefore the... Angie, do you think we're going to maybe to rustle up a pushing match with a bunch of Bournemouth supporters? I mean, of all the supporters on the planet.
So you finish off at home? Right?
At home to Bournemouth.
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. Unless we can somehow get ourselves to Brighton next Wednesday, which is, to be honest.
It's not going to happen.
Good. Excellent. So I think... Thanks, Piers.
Thank you.
This half-baked nonsense that is no clean sheets might involve an end-of-season party episode, which obviously you will be first on the invite list.
I
think you are. Level with Harry on goal difference. Steve.
Always a pleasure.
Actual catchphrase.
Yeah.
Beers, good to see you. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.